Radio Prague News. The lower house has approved the government's foreign missions plan. The 2019 budget has been projected with a 50 billion crown deficit, and steelmaker Trinitskaya Zelezarny has made a bid to buy its main rival ArcelorMittal Ostrava. The lower house of parliament has approved the government's foreign missions plan. Under the proposal, the Czech Republic should reinforce its presence in Iraq, Afghanistan and Mali by 275 soldiers this year. In the second half of 2019, Czech pilots will take their turn protecting the airspace of the Baltic states. The plan was approved by 140 out of 170 deputies present. Only the Communist Party and the Freedom and Direct Democracy Party voted against. The vote was preceded by a stormy debate, since the Civic Democrats had strong reservations to the fact that the plan was being put forward by a government without a confidence vote. In its first draft of the 2019 state budget, the finance minister envisages a deficit of 50 billion crowns, the CTK news agency reported Friday. The budgetary priorities are increased pensions, higher wages for teachers and higher investments. Deficits of roughly that amount are expected until the year 2021. All ministries have been promised more funds for next year, with the biggest increase being to the budget of the Ministry of Labour and Social Affairs. Opposition parties have criticised the size of the deficit at a time of economic growth. Steelmaker Trinitskaya Zelezarny has made a bid to buy its main rival ArcelorMittal Ostrava. The news was confirmed by the spokeswoman of Trinitskaya Zelezarny, Petra Juraskova. The idea of a merger between the country's two biggest steelmakers has received strong support, both from Prime Minister Andrei Babiš and President Miloš Zeman, who said the companies should stay in Czech hands. The Czech government is closely following ArcelorMittal Ostrava's sale, with the main concern to ensure the continuity of steelmaking and allied activities, employing more than 7,000 in a region of relatively high unemployment. It is not clear how many other bids have been made. The defeated candidate in the second round of presidential elections in January, Jiří Drahoš, is to stand for the Senate with the backing of several political parties, he announced on Friday. The chemist and former head of the Czech Academy of Sciences will have the support of Topo 9, the Christian Democrats, the Mayors and Independents and the Greens when he runs for a Senate post in the Prague 4 constituency in October. Prague's Marnes Bridge will be the site of weekend celebrations marking the 20th anniversary of the Czech-German Fund for the Future. Over that time, the fund has supported more than 10,000 joint and cross-border projects that benefited good neighbourly relations. The celebrations on Marnes Bridge will include concerts, outdoor theatre performances, debates, events for children, and there will be stalls with Czech and German cuisine. Marnes Bridge will be closed to traffic as of Friday evening. And finally, a quick look at the weather forecast. Saturday should be partly cloudy to overcast, with rain in most parts of the country and day temperatures between 23 and 27 degrees Celsius. I'm Daniela Lazarova, and that's the end of the news.
You are listening to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio, with Mirut Franjková. Coming up in today's program, ANO leader Andrej Babiš is set to be appointed prime minister for the second time next week. But what are his chances of forming a viable government? Czech steelmakers are likely to be hit by US duties as a trade war looms with the United States. Later on in the program, we visit the South Bohemian town of Český Krumlov, one of the Czech Republic's top tourist destinations. All that coming up, so please stay with us. The Czech Republic has been without a fully fledged government since the October election. President Miloš Zeman is expected next week to name Andrej Babiš, now head of the government in resignation, as prime minister. But the form his government might take and its chances of survival are far from certain. Brian Kennedy has more.
President Miloš Zeman first named Slovak-born billionaire-turned-Czech politician Andrej Babiš as prime minister last December. His centrist party ANO had handily won the election that autumn, but his minority government lost a vote of confidence in January. Babiš is now hoping the second time's a charm. Following his meeting with Zeman on Thursday at the president's retreat in Lani, He told journalists the expected timeline.
The president informed me that he will name me prime minister on June 6th, that's next Wednesday, at 2 p.m., and I was given a deadline to present a new government.
Babish reportedly has until June 20th to present the president with his list of prospective ministers. If Zeman approves them, Babish will call another confidence vote some 3 weeks later.
We can then ask for the confidence of the lower house, a vote that I expect will come after the 10th of July, sometime during that week.
After months of wrangling, Ano in early May struck an agreement with the centre-left Social Democrats to form a coalition. That party's rank-and-file members have yet to approve the deal, which will be put to an internal referendum on June 15th. Zeman has given Babish until June 20th to present his cabinet, but the president is not obliged to accept it. Babish has struggled to gain coalition partners while fighting charges that a decade ago he illegally gained EU subsidies meant for small Czech businesses. As a condition for joining a Babish-led government, the Social Democrats secured an agreement that the billionaire leader would step down if found guilty in that EU fraud case. Even if all goes as Babish hopes, an Ano Social Democrat coalition would still be a minority government, with only 93 out of 200 seats in the lower house. So Babish would need support from somewhere, likely from the unreformed Communist Party. If the Social Democrat deal does fall through, Babish has said an early election could be held next spring. That could also see the current political instability lasting over a year and a half. In the meantime, the only real option left to Babish would be to form a minority government tolerated by the communists on the far left and the anti-EU Freedom and Direct Democracy Party on the far right. Other sizable parliamentary parties, such as the Pirates, have ruled out any cooperation.
Brian Kennedy with that report. Czech steelmakers are likely to be hit by US duties as a trade war looms with the United States. While direct Czech exports to the United States are relatively small, the main concern is the knock-on effect as tradition markets are flooded with steel originally destined for the US. Chris Johnston has the details.
U.S. President Donald Trump signed off during the first on customs duties of 25% on steel and 10% on aluminium imported to the U.S. from the EU and other trade partners such as Mexico and China. The unilateral action is part of Trump's program to rebalance global trade relations and cut the U.S.'s ever-growing trade deficit with the rest of the world. Downsized over the last decades, the Czech Republic, for its size, is still a relatively significant player on European and world steel markets, with two main producers, ArcelorMittal Ostrava and Třinecké železárny. Last year, these two steelmakers were largely responsible for the 130,000 tons of Czech steel exported to the US, with the value of the sales estimated at around 5 billion crowns. That's still a relatively small drop in overall Czech steel production, which in 2017 totaled around 4.5 million tonnes. Jan Rafaj is deputy president of the Czech Confederation of Industry. He described the main Czech exports to the US.
We export seamless steel pipes for the petrochemical industry. We export rails and, for example, we export steel transformers.
The US importers might be willing to pay the extra for the Czech products or even seek to have the duties lifted on them by a special application to local authorities, or, as is probably the goal, turn to local manufacturers. On the other side of the coin, the Czech Republic has been a net steel importer since the end of 2006, with imports exceeding exports and the trade steel gap widening ever since. Imports have increased by 68% between 2009 and 2017, and exports rose by just 22% over the period. The steel trade deficit came to 2.5 million metric tons in 2017, ballooning from 1.7 million tonnes a year earlier, as imported steel helped to fuel the booming economy. Actually, the country is reckoned now to be the world's 20th biggest steel importer. But on the Czech side, at least, the threat of imposing tit-for-tat duties on US steel imports are almost zero. Czech steel imports overwhelmingly come from Germany, Poland, Slovakia, Italy, followed by a host of other EU countries. The US is nowhere to be seen. But the US customs duties will not go without reply. The European Commission, responsible for trade relations with the rest of the world, has already drawn up its list of customs duties in reply. These mostly target agricultural products, but also, for example, US Bourbon. And the real risk is seen as an escalating trade war between the US and the rest of the world, with President Trump's penchant for unilateral action and face-to-face negotiations seen as fueling the likelihood of that scenario. With exports representing around three-quarters of the Czech economy, although most of them to Europe, that's the biggest concern about the US action.
Chris Johnston with that report. Just a reminder that you are listening to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio. The historic South Bohemian and UNESCO-listed town of Český Krumlov is a magnet for tourists. Its success as a tourist destination has been spectacular over the past 25 years, but there have been some upsides and downsides of that success as well. Jan Wellinger explores some of those aspects on a recent trip to the town.
The city of Prague is one of the most beautiful in the world, but no one visiting the Czech Republic should miss the South Bohemian jewel that is Český Krumlov. The town of about 14,000 inhabitants, which dates back all the way to the 13th century, attracts roughly 800,000 visitors annually, and there are plenty of reasons why. A stunning castle, castle tower and chateau on a rocky promontory overlooking a picturesque historic center. And there is nothing more striking than crossing a bend in the Vltava River that circles around the famous teardrop-shaped town. The town's castle is second only to Prague Castle in size, offering 8 tours covering history, arts, and culture. And it's not surprising Český Krumlov, which is featured in numerous fairy tale films, and oddly enough is a fictional town in Slovakia, in the horror film The Hostel, attracts as many tourists as it does. The town's mayor, Dalibor Tsarda, says that in the early years after the fall of communism, many visitors were from neighboring Austria and Germany, many of them Sudeten Germans in the border area whose families were expelled from Czechoslovakia after World War II. Since then, the town has only grown as a major tourist site, attracting visitors from near and far. Mayor Dalibor Tsarda.
Tourism here has changed quite a bit over the years. After the first boom of visitors from across the border in Austria and Germany after 1989, it grew quickly. A second wave, interestingly, came from America, some of whom settled here for good. We have some foreign nationals who've lived here for 20 years and made Český Krumlov their home. There is an Italian ice cream maker, jewelers from the Balkans who have also been here for a long time, and Americans who stayed and also learned to speak Czech.
And many who came to Český Krumlov came at a time when many sites were still dilapidated after years of neglect by the former communist regime. And in some ways, the poor state of affairs added to the town's initial charm and mystery. And since then, investment has seen many historic buildings revitalized and transformed, and the number of visitors has only gone up. The mayor again.
When it comes to tourism, the biggest change is there in the last 3 years, when there was a big increase in the number of visitors from Southeast Asia due to a deal with Czech Airlines with Korean Air. We also had a lot of tourists from South Korea and Japan. We've also attracted many more tourists coming from China. That is the newest wave from the last few years.
And early in the morning when we visited, there were still relatively few tourists about. That would change in a little under an hour as tour buses rolled up. And what in the 1990s was a backpacking set has been at least partially replaced by large tours of 20 or more, with guides holding up umbrellas weaving their way through Krumlov's historic streets as they make their way through to the castle. Chinese, Russian, and English are among some of the languages heard. And I spoke to a number of visitors on the town's main square, Ingrid, Laura, and Phil from Canada, and Lynn from Taiwan.
We're from Vancouver, Canada, and it's beautiful. It's quite different. We were first in Austria in Steiermark, and now we came here, and it's very different. The culture's different. Beautiful.
Have you just come over for the day, or do you expect to spend a few days?
No, we are going tomorrow to Prague, but we'll spend the day here.
We're traveling together, first time here, and it's unbelievably beautiful here. It's like a storybook, and we're moving on to Prague tomorrow.
Do you share the same impressions, positive impressions from the Czech Republic?
Very positive so far. First impression. But the weather needs to be warmer now. Yesterday was so picturesque. This was great photo day, but today is a little bit gray.
Yeah, I do enjoy the city. And also, yesterday we have been to the ghost tour, and I really enjoyed that a lot because, yeah, you can hear a lot of local story, and I think something to do with the history also and how the people live in the past in this town. Yeah, so it was really great.
And the biggest attraction in Český Krumlov, besides a top museum dedicated to the great Austrian painter Egon Schiele, who was born there, is without a doubt the castle itself. No visit to the town would be complete without it. We spoke to the castle's longtime manager, Pavel Slavko, whose enthusiasm for the site and its many charms and secrets is boundless. He's done a wonderful job over the years in promoting Český Krumlov, and normally he prefers historic studies and facts, but he acknowledges that legends about the site are many and enjoyed by the visitors. He was kind enough to tell us one that he liked, which will resonate with anyone who has a full-time job.
Of course, countless legends accompany the real history of places like the castle at Český Krumlov. We have a specialist here in town, Mrs. Brownova, who knows all the legends and myths. My personal favourite here at the castle pertains to buildings on the first courtyard, where it's said sometimes at night a terrible racket can be heard. It's said to be the ghost of a hooper who was sworn to deliver two barrels by the wine harvest, but he died before he could complete the work. So his restless ghost continues to reappear. It's a beautiful legend which shows how one life is not enough to complete the job and how you have to continue even after death.
And speaking of completing things on time, most visits to Český Krumlov by tourists are at most a single day, and that is something of a conundrum. With so many castle tours to choose from, a famous Baroque theater, gardens, historic squares, churches, and a former monastery, not to mention a slew of famous restaurants, well, one day is hardly enough. Mayor Dalibor Tsarda says that there are those in the know who visit for 4 or 5 days in a row when they come to get the most out of this rich and delightful city. Lodgings vary in price, he told Radio Prague. He said there was still enough on offer for everyone, even those on a more limited budget. And the other paradox is that while Český Krumlov is undeniably one of the most beautiful cities some of us will ever visit, these days, sadly, it appears to be too busy. Locals say that there is, in fact, now no off-season, and that is a shame. It has made the town less attractive for those who live there, and even for tourists. If you want to enjoy a pristine Krumlov, as I did more than 20 years ago, you have to get up very early in the morning to ever have its romantic streets or overlooking castle to yourself. Simply put, it's crowded. And one person who calls Český Krumlov home is Sasha Leders from Brazil, who fell in love with the town some 15 years ago and now has mixed feelings about the way things have gone.
I came to Prague the first time in 2001, stayed for 2 weeks, loved it. Then came back in 2002 to Prague, and there I saw the floods on television with a friend, and he mentioned to me about Krumlov. He was like, oh my God, you're not going to see the most beautiful city or town in the Czech Republic. And he was like, we have to go. So he convinced me to come to Český Krumlov, and I didn't want to come. And at first I was like, I don't want to go. I love Prague. Prague is amazing. And he, after a lot of convincing, got me to come for 2 days to Český Krumlov. Well, those 2 days turned into 3 weeks where I went back to Prague just to get the rest of my stuff, and I came back for another 2-3 months. And And yeah, the reason that I stayed was the atmosphere. The place was just incredible. The buildings were not renovated. It looked like I had stepped in to a real medieval town. And I don't think they really thought about what's going to become of it. I think it was just like, oh, we're growing, we're making this money, things are going great for everybody. About the town, well, we can think about that later.
And in that sense, says Sasha and his colleague Martina Bodlákova, things have gotten worse.
I think it's most visible in that regular shops and services have disappeared. You used to have a local bakery, a hardware store, a seamstress, normal shops, and these have gotten harder to find. There are almost none left.
Both Martina and Sasha are involved in an annual cultural festival called Zažít město jinak, which reclaims parts of the historic center for one day for locals. Even tourists, of course, can take part, but the idea is for the town to survive not only as a backdrop or some kind of open-air museum, but as a real living city. But as I said, for one day. Sasha Leaders makes clear that while he still loves Český Krumlov and always will, he doubts it'll ever again be the same.
So you're stuck with this, how do you bring people back to town and yet, you know, and let the businesses thrive that cater to the citizens of the town? And that's the problem that I think the town is aware of, and I don't know if there is a solution. Maybe the genie is out of the bottle and you can't put it back in.
Next week, we return with the third installment of this series, Prague.
And that report by Jan Wellinger, which was first broadcast in November 2017, brings us to the end of our program here on Radio Prague. If you have any questions, please don't hesitate to comment. You can contact us on email at english@radio.cz or on Facebook and Twitter. We'll be glad to hear from you. But that's all for now from me, Ruth Franíková. Thank you very much for joining us and goodbye.